Word of Faith Ministries, establishing the kingdom of God and changing lives with the message of faith and the grace of Jesus Christ with a practical, biblical, and balanced teaching you can trust.
Welcome to another session of The Victory That Has Overcome the World, Even Our Faith. Now, we're going to continue and finish our study series and what happened with Job. This is session number 10, and you can see all the past teachings in our YouTube channel of Word of Faith Ministries. And you can also search for them on our website, mpfccc.org. You can find all the past 9 sessions there. And it's a different way of seeing it, in a different perspective of what traditionally has been taught for many years. So, in chapter 42, and this is our subject for today, God can restore your life like He restored Job. I just want to share that the word restore can also mean to repair, restore is itself, reestablish, recompose, renew, and rehabilitate. That's what God can do with your life. And I said, God can. Notice how I didn't say God will do it. Because God needs for you to... let's pray. Holy Father, we thank you. We bless you. Thank you for your truth. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the Holy Spirit that speaks and teaches to us and guides us and reveals to us. And we give you the honor, Lord. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for your presence. Thank you that you speak to us. Thank you that you reveal to us the truth of your word. With the authority of the Lord Jesus, we speak it. Amen. So, chapter 42 of Job, the last chapter, the book of Job. Verse 1. So I'll start reading in verse 1. Then Job answered the Lord and said, I know that you can do everything, and that no purpose of yours can be withheld from you. So Job was speaking something very true here, very, very important here. Job spoke something that was definitive. He said, I know that you can do all things, and there is no thought that can escape you. Every thought, the Lord knows. The fact that the Lord wants to restore your life does not indicate that He will do so. If you don't understand this, and you continue, living a life without seeking the direction of the Lord. You don't take care of what you speak. You don't guard your words. You open the doors to the devil or give place to the devil. This is what the Bible tells us that happened with Job. You have to see the first sessions. The first sessions I taught them here in the sanctuary of our church. The days were mostly the Sunday mornings that we would have here. I spoke the first sessions. I don't exactly remember. All I know is that they were the first sessions. But I spoke very important points that I suggest that if you want to change your life and see the book of Job from another perspective, from a correct perspective, a more biblical perspective, from a perspective according to the word of God, and not just blame God for everything that's happening to you, I recommend then that you see the first few sessions. Verse 3. Verse 3, you asked, who is it that hides counsel without knowledge? The answer would be the church. Now, in the New Living Translation, you ask, who is this that questions my wisdom with such ignorance, it would be the church. The church for many years has blamed God for what happened with Job. The church, the body of Christ, pulpits have taught that all disgrace that happened to Job was because God had a purpose for him. The church has taught for years, and a great section of the church says that when thing happens to you, it's because God is preparing for you, or because God is teaching you, or with all the disgrace that happens in your life, or God is increasing your faith, or some people are willing to say that he's increasing your faith or strengthening your faith. That's all just nonsense. Or that God is testing you to see what's inside of you. Well, I mean, God knows you. God knows exactly what's in you. Now, verse 2 again. I know that you can do everything and that no purpose of yours can be withheld from you. Then why would he be testing you? True, the Bible says that God tests the hearts of the people. In multimedia, please help me. 1 Thessalonians, verse 4. I think it's there, I'm not entirely sure. But the Bible says, no, chapter 2, verse 4. 1 Thessalonians 2, 4. But as we have been appointed by God to be entrusted with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God who tests our hearts. So some of you might say, it's right there, Brother Hughes. It's right there, God tests our hearts. But when the Bible says that God tests our hearts, he's not saying that God tests you with an illness or with a cancer or with disgrace. When God tests your heart, the way that God will test it is that God doesn't test you to see what's in you. But the way that God tests our hearts, what's in us, is that he brings out what's in there so that we can understand it. God deals with us and lets us see if we're walking in pride or if we're walking in disobedience or if we're giving place to the devil in some area of our certain decisions that we're taking. That's the way that God tests your heart, that you and I can realize when God tests us, he doesn't test us with evil. It's one of the things that I dealt with in the first few sessions. In James, now, James 1, verse 13. Let no one say, when he is tempted, I am tempted by God. I want you to see that word. Tempted here. The Greek word can also be translated with other synonyms. For example, tempted. Also tested. Afflicted. Those words in the Greek, right there, it clearly says, let no one say that he is tempted by God. But that word tempted could also be afflicted. Or troubled. There we go. Test with a negative context, or afflict, or to trouble, or test in determining their quality. In other words, he who comes and tests to determine the quality of your faith is the devil, because the devil doesn't know. Another definition is test to see how they think and act. Very interesting. Test their faith. The virtue and the character of someone. Test with the intention to make someone's sin. The devil's intention is that you fall in temptation. Test with the intention to inflict ill will. Or test with, there we go, test with the tempt with the tests of the devil. So you can see it there. Verse 13, one more time. Let no one say when he is tempted, tempted, tested, or afflicted, or troubled. The word of God says here, let no one say that he is tested or tempted by God. Trying to find a word here. For example, the word here can also be that as tried. Don't say then that you are being tried by God. God is not testing you with ill will. Now, back to chapter 42. Chapter 42. Same verse 3. You ask, who is this who hides counsel without knowledge? Therefore, I have uttered what I did not understand. God bless Job that he finally understood that he said what he just didn't understand. Things too wonderful for me, which I did not know. Listen, verse 4 now. Listen, please, and let me speak. You said, I will question and you shall answer me. Now, New Living Translation. You said, listen and I will speak. I have some questions for you and you must answer them. Verse 5, I have heard of you by the hearing of the ear, but now my eyes see you. New Living Translation, I have only heard about you before, but now I have seen you with my own eyes. Here, these are the eyes of the understanding. There are people who have told me, oh, Brother Hughes, you give so much Bible, too much Bible. It's because this is a ministry of. Number one, this is a ministry of teaching, biblical teaching, solid teaching, balanced teaching, in which you can trust. Second of all, I need to show you with the Bible what I'm talking about. Second point. Third point now, it's the Bible, the unfailing word of God. Fourth, if some Christians then, some of you who watch us in the church, in the local church, without even giving you so much Bible, your lives change. Imagine if I don't give you a Bible. Here with Brother Hughes, you're not going to be entertained. You're going to be instructed. To be taught in the Word. Why not be tested in it as well? Or challenged, better said. I'm going to challenge you to rise up in your spiritual level. And if you level up in your spiritual level, then your natural life will be better. Your financial life will be better. Your relationship with God, in your body, in your health, your body will be completely healed. In your mind, you will have peace, confidence, assurance. I'll challenge you with the word, as the word has challenged me, as the Lord has challenged me. Verse Verse 6 now. Therefore, I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. Now, don't abhor yourself. Don't hate yourself. But what Job was trying to say here, remember how he said, Job lived in other times, even before the law of Moses. Verse 6, New Living Translation. I take back everything I said, and I sit in dust and ashes to show my repentance. He takes back everything he said and accused God of. That's one of the things that in love I say this and mercy, but some of you need to do as well. Retract. Retract what you say. Go back and say, I take everything back that I said. I repent. I blamed God. Because God loves, because the devil loves it when you blame God. It's as if someone's hitting you, punching you, but you don't know who's punching you. The one that's punching you is telling you, oh, it's that person over there. And you're going to go against that person and get mad with that person. But it's the devil that's been hurting you. Because you gave place to him. When we give place to the devil, there are some things that have happened to me. Where I gave place to the devil, be it out of ignorance, because I let it happen, I didn't hear from God, because I didn't pray, I didn't pray sufficiently to receive direction from God. You don't pray to please God. You don't pray so that God can bless you more, or to win over the favor of God, or so that God loves you. Prayers for your own benefit. Verse 7. And so it was, after the Lord had spoken these words to Job, that the Lord said to Eliphaz the Temanite, my wrath is aroused against you and your two friends, for you have not spoken to me what is right, and my servant Job has. Now therefore take for yourself 7 bulls and 7 rams, go to my servant Job and offer up for yourselves a burnt offering, and my servant Job shall pray for you, for I will accept him, lest I deal with you according to your folly, because you have not spoken to me what is right, and my servant Job has. So Eliphaz the Temanite and Bildad the Shuhite and so far the Naamite went and did as the Lord commanded, for the Lord had accepted Job. And the Lord restored Job's losses when he prayed for his friends. Indeed, the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. Notice this. Now, this is what restoring is. Let me find something here in the Bible. One more time, the word to restore. God can restore your life, but are you giving place to Him? Are you giving the Lord the authority to manifest in your life? Restore means to repair. Reestablish or recompose. God wants to rehabilitate you. Everything that the devil has taken from you, God wants to give it back to you, and twice as much, in great quantities. Actually, in verse 10, and the Lord restored Job's losses. Indeed, the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. Now, go to Proverbs 6, verse 30. People do not despise a thief if he steals to satisfy himself when he is starving. 31. Yet when he is found, he must restore sevenfold. He may have to give up the substance of his house. That thief is Satan. Came to kill, steal, and destroy. When you speak of double, that the Lord will return double what you have. It's not saying that you had a car and then God is going to give you 2 cars. Double is a great abundance. Could be that you lost a car in a car accident or was stolen from you. God can give you 3 cars or 4 cars. You lost a house, God can give you three. Don't limit him to one. 1 + 1 = 2. The double for God is abundantly provided. Abundantly provided. More than enough. More than enough. Not enough. More than enough. In all areas. And with no debt. Now, help me with the New Living Translation in Proverbs 6, verse 30-31. Excuses might be found for a thief who steals because he is starving. Sounds a lot like the world to me. Verse 31, but if he is caught, he must pay back 7 times what he stole, even if he has to sell everything in his house. It's not up to you or me what the devil will do to you, but he does have to return sevenfold what he has taken. Now, Job 42 again. Job 42, verse 11 to verse 37. Then all his brothers, all his sisters, and all those who had been his acquaintances before came to him and ate food with him in his house, and they consoled him and comforted him for all the adversity. Ah, here it is, that the Lord had brought upon him. Unfortunately, here, this version that I'm reading is a very, very good version. Help me with the New King for those in Spanish. There we go, that the Lord had brought upon him. You see that part there? All the adversity that the Lord had brought upon him. This is another one of those verses that when the translators, in this case, King James, the King James Version, the New King James Version, and actually help me with the King James Version, with the original, all the evil that the Lord had brought upon him. That one's worse. All these versions have something to them. The translators, I'll give you an example. James here, Reina and Valera, or the Spanish version, were descendants from Spain. Casiodoro de Reina and Cipriano de Valera were the authors. The first version, 1569, was made in 1559. And then, almost a century later, retranslated. So the modern church to this day, a great section, think that God is the one that brings you evil. What could we say then of our brothers in Christ here, around the two authors here who lived between 1500 and 1600, with greater reason when they were translating the manuscripts from the Hebrew, from the Greek, etc., in Spanish, or in English, as we've seen, King James as well. I think the King James Version is 1610, perhaps I'm erring a little bit in the years, but I don't remember it fully right now. But imagine, the people back then did not have revelation. But the same scriptures here, we see the first session. In the first sessions, and now help me with the New Living Translation.
Job 42,
And they consoled and comforted him because of all the trials the Lord had brought against him. If to this day the New Living Translation, which is a more quote-unquote more modern translation, well then, what could you say about Reina Valera and King James? And now here I'm not saying that they were that they're bad translations, they're excellent translations. Nevertheless, there are certain parts in the Bible where they will blame God. Because that's the idea, just blaming God. God is the issue of everything. If you are a lazy Christian, then God made you lazy. If you're an irresponsible Christian, it's because God made you that way. I've heard people tell me, it's because that's how God made me. I'm like, oh. If you're a carnal Christian, but God is to blame because he doesn't fix all our issues that make you react carnally. And then we live in a society today where they always want to blame someone else. They're never responsible for anything. They're always the issue. Oh, Brother Hugh's the issue. It's because of this. It's because of that. It's because this over here, this and that, this person. This person made me feel bad. It's because this guy offended me. It's because if it were for that, we don't need the Bible then. We just need to wait for the things to be fixed in our financial areas, economic areas. Wait, the new candidate of our official party, the one that we like, the candidate that we like. And we wait for things to get fixed, that everything can be fine. Well, you know what's going to happen? You're not going to need God then. Some of you might think, oh, Brother Hughes, but what about what you taught in kingdom and government transmissions? Oh, well, what I teach there is for the good of the people, because the people in their majority do not know these things that I'm sharing. They don't know faith. They don't know who they are in Christ. They don't know how to operate in the area of faith. And the people themselves, they suffer. The nations suffer. But you and I, if we're under the kingdom of God, we cannot put all our trust, all our hope, and actually all our faith in a man or in a party. And although we may support said party or said person, we do it that God can use them for the good of the people in general. But you and I put 100% our trust in our God and in his word. 100% faith in our God and in his word. There's a great difference. What I speak in kingdom and government, it's for the love to the people, for love to the country. Faith works by love. I'm not going to say, oh, well, I live by faith, and I lack nothing. I don't care what happens to the nation or what happens to the people. No, we shouldn't learn by that way. But we put faith in the word of God. Now the last part of verse 11. Each one gave him a piece of silver and each a ring of gold. You think that because they wanted to? No, it was God who spoke to the hearts of these people. It was God. Verse 12 now. Now the Lord blessed the latter days of Job more than his beginning, for he had 14,000 sheep, 6,000 camels, 1,000 yoke of oxen, and 1,000 female donkeys. And 1,000 female donkeys. He also had 7 sons and 3 daughters. 10 children. And the next verse, please. And he called the name of the first Jemima, the name of the second Kesia, and the name of the third Haran-Hapuk. In all the land were found no women so beautiful as the daughters of Job. And their father gave them an inheritance among their brothers. Verse 16, after this, Job lived 140 years. When you're 60, you already want to retire. 70, you're already calling yourself old. Yeah, old. We're going to compare to, biologically speaking, with a person who's 15 years, with a teenager who's 15 years, or someone who's 20, 25, yeah. But you shouldn't be cursing yourself every single moment. And if you're going to mention old, compare it in comparison to what? Amen. Glory to God. We'll be back after these.
The Word of God says in Romans 10, 9 through 10, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus Christ, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For in the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. If you have not received Jesus Christ, you have not been born again. Therefore, you have to take the next step. I am not speaking about a religion or changing a religion. I am speaking about you receiving Jesus as Lord and Savior. I invite you to make this confession with me. God, in heaven above, I come before you to receive the gift of life, to receive Jesus as Lord and Savior. I believe that you raised him from the dead. I believe he is alive and he reigns. Jesus, I give you my life and I invite you into my heart. From now on, God, I can call you Father. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for receiving me as your child. Now, if you have said this prayer, you have been born again. Welcome to the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. Welcome to God's family. And remember, with all thy getting, get understanding. The word says in 2 Corinthians 5:7, for we walk by faith, not by sight.
We are grateful for your continued prayers and financial support, which are important for spreading God's word around the world. Giving to our ministry is both simple and secure. Please visit our website, mpfccc.org, and find the giving section where you will find a variety of giving options. To make a donation, fill out the donation form, enter your desired contribution amount, select the specific fund you wish to give to, add your preferred payment method, and click the Give button to finalize your donation. Upon completion, you will receive a confirmation of your donation. We want to reassure you that any amount you decide to give is a blessing and appreciated in our ongoing mission. Thank you for your support and for partnering with us.
We want to know about you and what God has done in your life. Please visit our website, mpfccc.org, and click on the testimony section and share with us the wonders of the Lord.
Do you have any questions regarding this teaching? Visit our website at mpfccc.org and click on the question section to submit your question for Pastor Ignacio Hughes.
Okay, I'd like to thank all our faith partners and friends of Word of Faith Ministries that help us to take the word to other places, other countries, via radio, specifically via television. I think all of your financial support, consider that if you're not a faith partner with Word of Faith Ministries, consider being so and to help us. If you are constantly extracting spiritual information, not saying that it's an obligation, but you should consider being a faith partner and help us to take the word to other places. Now, Chapter 42 of Job. I'm going to continue reading 16 and 17. After this, Job lived 140 years and saw his children and his grandchildren for four generations. Wow. So Job died old and full of days. Not saying that Job died sick, died in a corner, all peeing himself. No, it's not saying that. I'm not making fun of the disgraces of people. But every single human being would have access to the Lord If only, for example, a person from the world. How many people from the world have not heard the gospel yet? The gospel of salvation. The word of salvation. That salvation comes from the Lord Jesus Christ. Nowadays, with all the technology available, if not everyone, a great majority of people have heard. Millions and millions, and I'm willing to say billions. One thing that you can prove it with is that people contrary that are saying that either God doesn't exist, or that God is a lie, or that doubt the word of God, or they say, oh, if there's not a God, I don't know, and they're attacking the word of God, and attack what we say of God and of his word, and don't believe. There's a great number out there. Why? Because they've heard, but they've rejected the gospel of salvation, the word of salvation. All of us have access. Once we are born again, we have the Holy Spirit in us. And we have the word of God, although the correct order would be that it's first the word of God, then the Holy Spirit. That's the best combination. That's the order. First the written word, then the Holy Spirit. Years ago, a man said, oh, I don't need this thing. The thing was referring to the word of God, and he threw his Bible. He said, that's what I have the Holy Spirit for. If you're of those people, you're going directly to disgraces and being deceived by the devil. Because the devil will deceive us and go against the written word primarily. So the Bible tells us, God in his word, or God through the Bible tells us, that Job lived to be 140 years old, verse 16, and saw his children and grandchildren for four generations. That means that he saw his children, his grandchildren, his great-grandchildren, and his great-great-grandchildren. Those are a lot of words there. There's a lot of words before the word grandchildren. And Job died old and full of days. And as we saw, God had restored. God wants to restore you, but you have to change your way of thinking. You have to have your faith working in you, the faith of Jesus in you. God wants to restore your life. But if you say, oh, Brother Hughes, I don't see restoration in my life, not because of God, not because God has an issue with you. Better said, the issue is you or in you. When something doesn't happen in my life, I see that the issue is me, not God. So I have to seek that direction. But again, we live in a very busy society, in a lazy society. Lazy Christians, they don't want to pray. They just want to pray when they have an issue. They're just going to pray and just ask for prayer. And careful if God doesn't answer that prayer quickly. But normally, they don't seek from God. Because those false doctrines, that false message of grace where, oh no, you don't have to pray. God did it all. God loves you the same if you pray or not. And we have a generation full of lazy Christians, irresponsible Christians, where Christians just do however they want to. And they say, oh, God loves me the same. God loves me the same. Yeah, so why are you in the condition that you're in right now? And why are you frustrated? Because you're going to say, oh, it doesn't matter what happens. God sees me the same. Then be joyful in the middle of tribulations. And if you believe that God is the one that's sending you the issues, don't ask for prayer. I say this to wake you up, challenging you. If you think that it's God, then let it be. Just deal with the issues and with the disgraces that you're going with. Don't cry. Don't get worried. At night, sleep comfortably. Deal with it. Because, hey, it's God. If God is teaching you, God is testing you, God has a purpose, hey, why do you cry then? Why do you get discouraged? Why do you get frustrated? Why are you mad? But don't be discouraged with the people from your church or the people around you because you think that God owes you something. God will never be able to restore you that way. Oh, Brother Hughes, that sounds so tough what you're saying. Perhaps, but it's true. One more time, it's not my intention to offend anyone or to make anyone feel bad. But again, I want to test you, challenge you. Romans 13. Help me with the New Living Translation. Owe nothing to anyone except for the obligation to love one another. The next translation. Let no debt remain outstanding except to continue the debt of love to one another. What these verses are saying is this. I don't owe you anything and you don't own me anything. Don't expect anything else from me than to love you. And I don't expect anything from you. You aren't my source and I'm not your source. If we're together, we have a relationship of a covenant. If we have a relationship of a pastor to a member of congregation, but don't expect, the pastor should pray for me, the pastor should call me, pastor should do this, pastor should do the other, or brother so-and-so has to help me because he has this and that and I don't, so he has to help me. See how I said before the announcements. If any of you extract information, you should notice how I said you should, not saying you have to, nor you must. No, I didn't say that. I said you should consider sowing for your own benefit, not for my benefit, because the money isn't for you or me. It's to help out for the outreach of other people of the gospel. But the benefit is for you. But if you, for example, even people have given me things before, they've given me clothes. Someone some time ago gave me a piece of jewelry. But if some people who give me literally sow something in my life, and then they want to manipulate me. They say, oh, well, you should help me because I helped you. That's the way of thinking of the world. And that's what the Bible says. No one owes you anything and you don't owe anyone anything. But to love one another. Of course, there are people who have told me when I share this with them. But Brother Hughes, you have taught us how you have been grateful with your mentors in the faith. But exactly, I'm grateful because no one obligated me. It's from my own heart. I wanted to do it. And it's good to be grateful. But the debt is that in love is what will motivate you to do so. And when Corinthians, Second Corinthians 5:14. There we go. For the love of Christ compels us. Now, New Living Translation. Either way, Christ's love controls us. New International Version. For Christ's love compels us. Same way. New King James that I just read. For the love of Christ compels us. That word obligation means from obligate to. That obligation compels means born out of love. For example, in the state of Arizona, some of the laws from Arizona obligate me as a father to give my children, when they were smaller, at least I have to give them a roof where to live, food, clothing, and send them to school. The basic. If I don't do any of those four, the state will take my children. Nevertheless, I did it. But I did it motivated by law of Arizona. I did it motivated out of love. And it was an obligation. But it was an obligation based, or an obligation born out of love. And that's very important. This is very important to understand. Amen. Very important. And we have to understand this. Very basic. Glory to God. If you understand it, our life will change in a great way. I'm about to close this series, and I want to encourage you. These are going to be my last words in this series. As the years go, if the rapture does not occur or the Lord doesn't come yet, He delays His coming, this world will get worse and worse. Farther away from God than ever before. There will be greater distraction. The internet, in general, will increase. As how I say it, as how the world uses it. As entertainment, as news, sports, from everything. In other words, there will be more distraction because it's how money is generated. And there, you'll decide. Of course, there will be more teachings, more preachers. It's where you will have to seek the direction of the Lord. And literally, it may sound exaggerated what I'm saying, but literally, this has to do with life or death. A person who is cold, departed from the relationship with God, is a perfect target for the devil. That person will live discouraged or will die very soon. They'll live a short life. They'll live a short life, this planet Earth. There's nothing worse than a Christian who is cold and lost. Because a person from the world, a pagan or a heathen, well, that's what they are. They're pagans, they're heathens. But if you're a child of God, why be cold and lost spiritually? It's because truly you have not operated in the love of God that is in you. You don't need to pray to feel the presence of God or for Him to give you more revelation. You don't need anything of that. All you need to do is walk in the love that you already have. But there are many Christians who love people more than God. Some of you think, oh, Brother Hughes, because you don't understand me with my children. I haven't finished, but I'm still raising four. They still live at home. They still live with me. And I know perfectly what I'm talking about with the Word of God. By the grace of God, with His Word, the help of the Holy Spirit, we have gone ahead. God wants to help you, to restore you. One of the things that we see in the book of Job is that there was that attitude from Job, an attitude of almost hatred, an attitude of no repentance. Lack of repentance, pride will keep you below always. James 4. James 4, verse 6. But He gives more grace. Therefore, He says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. God loves you, but He resists that part from you. In other words, when God resists you, what will happen is you will not see God be in your life in certain areas. Involve His life. Involve Himself. That's what this means when God resists you. He actively receives you. He will not back you up. You'll be frustrated. There are many Christians, talking about mothers, who are frustrated, discouraged. Because they never delivered themselves, spirit, soul, and body. They took bad decisions. They got married with supposed Christians. Better said, they're just heathens. They just want to silence their conscience. And they just want to be refuge in that, oh, well, I'm married and they have a daughter, they have a child or two. But if you take refuge in the Lord, if you are born again, and you take refuge in the Lord, He will give you that peace. And if you seek the Lord, He will give you that wisdom. And you'll know how to love your husband or your wife with the correct love, not a love of idolatry. And you'll know how to love your children, not with a love out of idolatry, but that God will be first in your life. Don't walk how the majority of the world walks. We live in this world, but we aren't of this world. You and I are spiritual beings who are born again. But my question is this, are you using the Holy Spirit inside of you? Are you using that ability to communicate with God? Especially if you speak in other tongues, you have the ability to pray in other tongues. You don't have an excuse. This may sound tough what I'm saying, but I have very little patience and very little mercy to Christians who speak in other tongues and are caught in issues, are cold spiritually speaking, lost. And they continue in that lifestyle. I have very little patience and very little mercy. Because they're like that because they want to be that way. Because they just want to hear kind words from someone who encourages them, who just pats them on their back and tell them that everything will be all right. Everything will be all right. Because God loves them. And that's it. That's all they want to hear. And then the years go by. And if you see, you notice, every year that passes by, one way or another, chronologically speaking, we're growing older. the obedience with faith in His word, you can retract the effects of aging. The effects of aging. Illnesses and the wearing out of your body and of your bones. You can retract those effects, but we can't retract aging itself. And actually, if you want to live a long life, you have to get old. And all of us are growing older, including those type of people, and they don't even realize it. That the years are passing. The years are passing and they are stuck like a car that's stuck in mud. Just rolling those tires. And they're stuck. Like that hamster that's in that wheel, just doing circles after circles. And they don't get out of where they are. And none of you should feel like I'm obligating you or that I don't understand what you're going through. You know, because I've gone through issues, but I had to do what Job did. I had to kneel before him. I had to kneel before the Lord, because the Lord has established a system. And God loved me, loved me when I was going through depression. And when I would have to take pills for depression, when I had asthma and I had to use an inhaler. And when I was financially broke, I slept on the floor of a room. After that, someone gave me a used mattress. And that mattress was the one that the dog used for. It was their pet. It was its old mattress, and they gave it to me. And I thought it's best to have this mattress than to sleep here on the floor, because it was an old carpet. It would have been the same if I slept on the floor, the bare floor, or on that carpet, because it wasn't even fluffy anymore. And God loved me the same. And people would tell me, oh, it's all going to be all right. And weeks would pass and months would pass. And I was the same. And I would get frustrated because they would tell me, oh, everything's going to be all right. But why don't I get out of this situation then? And I would think that it was God. Then I'd go with my leaders in the church in which I was in. They told me, God has a purpose, Brother Hugh. You have to deal with it. And all the people that were in that church would tell me the same. Not just the leaders, the people as well. Oh, it's all going to be all right, brother. And they all tell me it's a test. God has a purpose. But those same people, I see them on Sundays asking for prayer. Asking prayer to the church that God could remove that affliction that God was sending them. So then I'd get even more confused, because I'd see them and I'd say, well, how is this possible? They tell me that I have to deal with it, but they can't deal with it because they're asking for prayer. And they're praying to God, that God, the one, the same God that put that test on them, that the same God remove it from them. God put it on you. It means he's teaching you something. It didn't make any sense, but they didn't realize it, neither did I. Well, what happened is not only did I not understand it, I was getting more confused. But glory to God for the liberty in Christ. Glory to God for his understanding of the word. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Holy Father, I thank you for every single person that their life is restored. Show them. Thank you that you speak to them through your word and through your Holy Spirit, and you bring conviction. Were you ministered and were you fed with the word of God? Then we give you the opportunity to do so online tonight. Or in this day, or whenever you are listening to us. The word of God says in Galatians 6, verse 6 and 7, let him who is taught the word share in all good things with him who teaches. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. In those same verses, but in the New Living Translation, those who are taught the word of God should provide for their teachers, sharing all good things with them. Don't be misled you cannot mock the justice of God. So in this case, we are speaking of Word of Faith Ministries, which teaches you the Word. Now, verse 7, New Living Translation, don't be misled. You cannot mock the justice of God. You will always harvest what you plant. So when a person is constantly fed with the Word of God, they should respond. Why? Because it is good for you. This is good for you. This is good for you yourself, because when you sow the Word out of thankfulness, then you will reap. And at the same time, you help us, or you help that person who is being fed, in this case, from Word of Faith Ministries, to be taken farther. If Word of Faith Ministries does not feed you spiritually, then pray to the Lord to direct you or someone else and to another ministry to where you can be fed. But from where you are fed, the honorable is that you sow in that word. The Bible says that God gives to the sower. There is no such thing as, oh, I don't have or I can't. That's true. The Bible says that God gives seed to the sower and bread for food. So if you start believing by faith, the laws of faith are, Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, I ask seed to sow. I believe that I receive it and thank you for it. And from then on, every single day, thank you, Father, that you give me seed to sow. Miraculously, God will provide seed. We've lived it for those who believe in this. We've lived it time and time again, and we've experienced it time and time again. I agree with you in this day, in the moment of sowing. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, I thank you for those who will participate in sowing and reaping. I call an abundant harvest, a hundredfold return. We believe we receive this in agreement in prayer. Thank you. Thank you that your word is true, and thank you that we see prosperity in the lives of your children, in those who will sow, in those who will give. In this moment, we thank you, and we agree, and you know what? Nothing. You will lack nothing, and not only you will lack nothing, you will come out of debt. Not only will you come out of debt, you will prosper in the way of God. You will prosper according to the way of God. When that harvest comes now, be wise, seek wisdom. Don't spend, get out of debt. God wants you free of debt, and He wants you very prosperous to finance the gospel of the kingdom. God bless you greatly.
We hope you have enjoyed today's teaching brought to you by Word of Faith Ministries. For more information about our ministry, contact us at 480-458-8618 or visit our website, mpfccc.org.
Be the first to be notified of our latest streamings by subscribing to our YouTube channel, Word of Faith Ministries. Don't forget to like, comment, and share.